reach the
My name's Dave, a.k.a. Chris Christopher Robbins, and this is a Fizzle Podcast from FizzlePodcast.com. Back for another great week. Let me introduce you, as usual, to my co-host, but we have a mix-up, a change in the wind. Up first and only, that's Andy Bergman.
Yeah, did you know that Adam isn't here because I found out about his secret life as a priest?
No, you did not tell me that.
Yeah, I found out about his alter ego.
God damn it, I was really trying to. That's the thing, no Krista. So there's no sound drops. There's even less than usual, which is almost at zero. But this is just a regular bro down hoedown, me and Andy here.
Bro down hoedown. We're sucking dicks and putting on our kicks. Wait.
I don't mind the part where we put on our kicks. The first part I have a problem with.
I'll have to shop that with the other bros.
Yeah, well, it's just us today. It's just total bro hang. So, you know, I didn't really write any notes for the show. There's not really anything going on. So it's just going to be a stream of consciousness. So not only are we missing two cast members, it's going to be wildly different. Maybe.
Oh, no.
Maybe not. I mean, it's usually just the same old bullshit of me complaining about stuff.
I have a lot to complain about. So well, we're good on that.
So let me touch upon the first and most interesting thing that happened. So, had my shed finally torn down. Hated that shed since day one. Holy mother of God.
Why did you hate the shed?
It was a rabbit breeding ground. Like, it was the type that was raised up, and it had, like, PVC and stuff running under it for drainage. But who the fuck did? It's Arizona! It never rains here! Pull your head out of your ass!
The one time it rains, you're gonna get a whole bunch of rabbit corpses floating out of there.
Fuck, well, whatever. So, I you know, Krista got these guys to come and put a fire pit in our backyard and demolish that hated, accursed shed.
Take that shed. Did you take all your stuff out of it first?
Well, here's the thing. Krista was like, just we'll take the stuff out that we are, or at least I was. I was like, let's just take the stuff out we want. They already know to pick up the other crap because I had to tear down a barbecue cover because it disintegrated in the Arizona sun. So I was like, yeah, well, they're taking that. Just have them take everything here, too. What they did is they just threw it all out of my lawn. So I come home, bunch of shit on my lawn, but I got a fire pit back there. So I'm looking through it, and I got a couple of old crappy workbenches and shit, and, like, they saved every screw or nail they found on the floor in there. So I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, that's all stuff for the garbage. And I look, and there's a huge-ass bullet.
Oh, David's holding it. It is a gigantic, that's like for an assault rifle.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is for an AK-47.
It's Jesus.
It's a 30-05. It says 30-05. So this is a hunting round. This isn't even like an assault round. This is a round meant to take down big game. And it was just in the shed, apparently.
where the guy used to clean and gut his game. And he'd capture it live, take it back, shoot it in the shed.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, I live nowhere near a forest. So, I mean, this guy was driving hours and hours to, like, go kill an elk and then to bring it back only to gut the stinking corpse in my backyard.
Oh, no, he was mulching jackrabbits.
Oh, I don't, well, anyway, so I don't doubt that, but also, so I wanted to, and but since the guys had been there and gone so fast, I couldn't ask them how many rabbits I had living under my shed, because a couple of things happened. Not only did they fill in the empty space, I was like, oh, where'd they get the dirt for all this? And then, as they were leaving, I found out they filled in the tortoise hole.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I
was
like,
the tortoise in it?
Yes. He's been there for like two, like maybe not 2 months. He's been in there for like 2 weeks because it finally got cold enough for him to go hibernate. So shit. I come home. I'm like, wow, that's a nice fire pit and bench and everything. And then I see them pulling out. I'm like, bye, guys. Thanks for everything. And I'm like, wait, there was a hole right here that could fit a giant tortoise. So I had to dig him out so he wouldn't suffocate.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so after I got home from work, I was frantically digging. I'm sure he would have been fine because it's pretty deep and there's, you know, he doesn't breathe a whole lot. Probably would have been fine if I left him there until they were back and gone because they had to come back one more time. But I was like, oh my God. So I made enough at least for an air hole. And he came out the other day pissed.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He came out as pissed as the tortoises I've ever seen.
Oh, it's because my tortoise is an angry tortoise.
Is he?
Well, like, don't touch the bitch. If you touch my tortoise, she will go shh, shh, shh. Like, or if you like gently scratch her, she also start like limping, like not limping, but like
like throwing,
husking herself, or like hissing at you.
That's so weird. Yeah, my tortoise hardly had any human companionship, living in the backyard since it outgrew its 20-gallon tank. So that's about 3 years now that it's been outside, only coming into contact with humans whenever it's like whenever it's an accident. It's like
David's dropped a bullet, and now he's shot Krista. She's in the other room.
No, she's across town. Don't worry about her. I shot the neighbor.
Oh, okay.
No, but so that's the thing. I've only come into I have an acquaintance with the tortoise that I live with. It's not like we're friends. It's not like we spend a lot of time with each other. We meet each other in the backyard sometimes when he's up eating grass and I'm out like kicking the ball for the dogs. And still, I can pick him up. I can touch his face. I can touch his feet. He doesn't give a shit.
No, that my tortoise is and like I look on the website. It's like, well, how do you get a Russian tortoise to like you? It's like, try to hand feed it. And it's like, give them something like carrots and apples and all this nice shit. And tortoise won't eat anything but lettuce and like spring mix. Uh-huh. You put carrots in there, she's like, fuck you. Wave anything in front of her face, she's like, I'm just going to hide here. You can't even see me right now.
You're describing my entire experience as a child. Because when you're a child, you think, thanks to cartoons, that all animals have human-like intelligence and are just as eager to be friends with you as you are with them.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
But the honest truth is the opposite couldn't be more true. So that's the thing. You get a lizard growing up and you think, oh man, I'm going to, you know, befriend it. And we'll have, you know, you see all the videos of people with like lizards that do funny shit. You're like, oh man, that's going to be me. But you don't realize that the owner of that lizard is like doing that 16 hours a day. Like they don't have a day job.
Like what do you do for a job? Oh, I'm a lizard trainer.
Yeah. Like those people, like if you've ever like training a dog is hard enough. You try to train a lizard and its brain is the size of a chickpea and you're going to try and get it to be your friend. It takes effort and time that you, I guarantee, do not have.
And they are out there. Reptiles are born angry.
Mm-hmm. I have a bearded dragon too right now. And he's like my third or fourth one. And this one asshole through and through. You can feed him, you can pet him, you can give him his favorite treat. You hold him and you take him out to the sun and he loves that shit. But every time you come at him, he will open his mouth and, you know, what do you do with a thing like that? Like, you can't, like, teach it to be a loving animal. It's a lizard.
Seriously.
That's the thing. You think, oh man, even with dogs, I remember seeing, like, because you'd watch Wishbone, not Witchbone. Yeah. You'd watch Witchbone, the edgier cousin on Channel 9.
the gothic dog.
Yeah, what's the story, Witchbone? He's like, oh, I'm fucking bored again. Because he didn't read the literature that Wishbone did. But that's the thing, you watch that, and you think, oh man, I'm going to get a dog and train all this. You don't know how to train a fucking dog as a child. Adults do it for a living, and you're not going to do it like you're seven.
Well, and oh my God, so for Christmas, my third oldest nephew wanted a chinchilla, and well, he was like, oh, my dog doesn't like me the way I want to be liked. A chinchilla? Does the chinchilla love you? I was like, the chinchilla is indifferent to me. I hand it little donuts made of hay, and it eats them, and I'll scratch its head, and it'll go squeak, 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 and then run away.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're looking for love in an animal, like that's you have to like really train them to like movie star level training for your dog for it to give a shit about you, or like seeing eye dog. It would need to go through that much training to act the way you want it to.
And I was like, why doesn't your dog like you? It's like, well, I didn't pay much attention to it. I was like, you've had that dog for like 5 years. And it's a pretty old dog at this point. They got it at a shelter.
Yeah. Well, and it's never too late to start paying attention to the dog. It'll sort of reciprocate.
Well, I mean, he's in that age where he's like 13 or 14, where he thinks he's a great wit.
Oh, good.
But everything he says, I'm just like, shut the fuck up, Tiny.
Boy, do I remember that time, and boy, do I look back at it and cringe.
Well, not only that, he's being raised by hardcore Republicans, so a lot of the stuff that comes out of his mouth is...
Boy.
Sometimes semi-racist.
In my family, it's no longer semi-racist. It's like full-blown supporting racists.
Well, oh my God, David. So I never thought of my people as not my people, my family, my people.
You know, the whites.
My family is the kind of people who would just parrot whatever the president says.
Uh-huh.
But we go to family dinner yesterday, And the only thing coming out of their mouths is like, yeah, shithole countries. It was great.
Oh, my God.
Shithole this, shithole that. I'm sitting there. I was like, you know that. And they're like, yeah, why would we want people from shithole countries? I was like, you know, according to statistics, the people from those countries have a higher percentage of people who get degrees than anybody who was born here. And they're like, well, that's fake news.
Yeah, and they work a fuck ton of a lot harder. And they are a net positive to a community when they move in. But you can't explain that to the Republicans because facts are for idiots. What they go on, I believe, is what, like, if their gut says, oh, fucking something's off about this guy, you're like, all right, that's all I need.
Well, they'll keep on talking until I finally come out with a fact, and then they'll be like, man, and then they'll start talking about something different.
So this is hardly political. It's just hilarious at this point. But have you gotten a reaction from your parents about Trump's involvement with these porn stars?
No, because they don't believe it to begin with. They wouldn't talk about it. They only talk about his hilarious antics, like, you know, those Trump antics.
Is that really, like, how you're... I see, and here's the thing I want to know. Like, when Obama was in the presidency, was I looking the other way at a bunch of crazy shit happening and not knowing it? And, like, are the Republicans, like, doing exactly what we're doing?
No.
I didn't think so. Because sometimes it makes me think like I'm living an opposite world, especially, you know, Arizona, wildly Republican state, you know, which is neither here nor there, as long as you keep it to your fucking self. But when people like you, your family, or my family try to get in my face about it, I'm just like, I appreciate.
Well, I told my mom, I was like, yeah, it's not my, like, she's like, well, they're always going after this Trump, he's a nice guy. I was like, it's not our fault that you hired a dipshit. She turned to me, she goes like, well, he may be a dipshit, but I hate Obama. And I was like, that's not the point of this, and I don't know why you hate Obama.
That's like saying, that's why.
Well, I kind of know why you hate Obama.
Yeah, obviously. Like, that is so crazy. That's saying like, but there was no, like, there was nothing, none of this. Nobody was like constantly having meltdowns because of what President Obama said, right? Like, there was nothing he was doing.
No. David, they were having meltdowns. You didn't see the whole hubbub because he wore a tan suit?
Oh my God, a tan suit.
You didn't see how elitist he was because he ordered Dijon mustard on a hot dog?
Oh,
these were real
God
controversies.
Yeah, and you know what? At least, God bless him, Trump is plugging his 3-inch root into some fucking overused woman's ass.
And did you read the transcript of what that lady said was in the phone call?
No.
Imagine Trump is an orange, nasty fat man in his tidy whities, which have been stained back in front, standing there going, yeah, I'm just waiting here with your friend.
Oh my God.
Why don't you come over? We'll have a little fun, baby.
Oh my God.
It was gross.
Oh yeah, I've completely stepped out of it. So here's what's new in my life. Also, I've decided to become an optimistic nihilist.
What? How do those two work together?
I didn't understand it at first either, and I had to explain to me when, you know. So nihilism is the belief that nothing matters. Everything will dissolve into, you know, entropy will be the conqueror of all, and there's nothing you can do about that. And there's no, you know, there's nothing cyclical. And, if you know, so once you realize that nothing you do matters, like, no matter how bad you fuck up, in 100 years time, you'll be completely forgotten. Your name will be wiped clean as far as the world is concerned.
Well, yeah.
Once you realize that you have that power over your life, it's actually pretty cool. Because, you know, I used to stress about everything, man. I would be like, oh, my God, this. And then I would go in and separately stress about, like, oh, man, when I'm dead, that's it. And then finally I was like, hey, those things make each other pointless.
You were like, hey, when I'm dead, that's it.
Yeah. And I was like, whew. So,
thank God.
Yeah, load off my back.
Thank nobody.
See, that's the thing. People are always like, oh, you're so cynical. And I don't like to think of myself that way. I like to think of myself as optimistically nihilistic.
It's a good thought.
So that way people are like, oh, you see the worst and everything. Best part about that is, even if I do, it doesn't fucking matter.
Shut up. Get out.
Think about 100 years ago when two similar jackasses to you and I were having a conversation, maybe in person and not over the internet, obviously.
No, that was just a special rich people internet.
Yeah. That conversation, long and forgotten, those guys are dead and buried in the ground, will be there too someday, and it's pretty freeing.
Yeah. Terrifying.
I guess if you depends on how you look at it. I mean, that's the great thing about this philosophy is, like, if somebody doesn't get it, you're like, who gives a fuck?
Get out.
Not even say get out. I just say fine, whatever, because your opinion, just like mine, does not matter.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's going great, I got to say. Work still as boring as ever. It hasn't improved that at all.
I had to go to the urgent care on Saturday.
You're always getting injured or ill.
Well, let's start off with the beginning of all this. So, like, a week ago, the wife and I were, you know, doing stuff that couples do.
Sure.
And when it got to the end, I had an explosive headache. Right at the point where I was like, yes. Like, just fireworks. I was like, oh my God, am I having a stroke?
Oh, yeah. So, would you have like an onset migraine?
Yeah, like just all of a sudden. I was like, that was awful.
Yeah, they'll fucking kill you, dude.
Next day, I was, you know, doing my own thing. Same thing.
Like, wait, were you doing it for the science to test out the head thing?
No, I was just doing the thing. And also, I was like, oh, fuck, headache.
Oh, man.
So I was like, this is not good.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So the third day comes, I was like, okay, we're gonna do like a scientific research thing.
Yeah, the science didn't come till the third day.
For science. Happens again, doesn't go away.
Okay. So how long did the first two last?
Like 30 minutes.
Okay. All right.
But the next one, like, big headache, and then like a moderate headache, and then I have to go to work.
Uh-huh.
So I'm at work, and the headache starts getting worse and worse because I'm hearing idiots drone on about nothing under fluorescent lighting.
Yeah.
So after about 2.5 hours, I was like, okay, I'm going home, guys. They're like, but you're going home? I was like, yeah, I got this horrible headache. Like, and whenever you have a headache, they're like, well, did you try this? Like, no, I'm just sitting here in pain. Never. I didn't try shit.
Wait, they have medicine? We sell it here.
Like, I tried Advil, it didn't really work. Tried Tylenol, didn't really work. I was like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
So the next day, I was like, okay, let's go home. We'll go to sleep. Wake up, no headache. Wake up, same headache. Like, well, shit, let's go to urgent care.
Okay.
Because my wieners cause a weird thing.
That may have been correlative instead of causative at first.
So I get to the urgent care as soon as they open, and I suppose I neglected to look on their website to see that people can check in online, so there's already 5 people in front of me.
Yeah.
So I sit there for about 2 hours, so thank God for the Nintendo Switch.
Uh-huh. Of course, yeah, you can't leave the home without a video game.
I get in there, the guy does all these tests, lungs are fine, heart's fine, don't have flu. He's like, do you have allergies? I was like, I don't know, like, maybe. Like, I've never really been tested. He's like, okay, well, it could be like leaking blood or a tumor, so we're gonna scan your head. But first, what we're gonna do is we're gonna have this gigantic fat nurse come in here and stick a needle full of like a powerful painkiller in your ass.
Oh yeah, here's the thing. Being a part of the migraine club, you get used to those. They give you 2 shots, for me anyway. They give you one for the headache and then one for the nausea that the headache causes. And I just kept telling them, like, you don't, and they're thick needles. I kept telling them, you don't need the nausea one. Please do not put that needle in my ass. I said, well, you gotta do it again. I said, fuck you, bitch. Let's get this over with.
So, and because it's an urgent care, she has no bedside manners. So she comes and goes, pull down your pants.
Yeah.
Like, I'm texting my wife to tell her to call in to work for me, which is another story in a second.
Okay.
So I was like, I finished texting. She's sitting there, like, tapping her toes, like, tick, 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 tick. I was like, just hold on. Tick, tick, tick. Okay, I'm done. Pull down my pants. She just, like, barely wipes the alcohol on there and goes,
oh, yeah.
Like, ah!
Here's the thing. Now, I need to tell everybody listening this piece of information, because people think they hear urgent care and they think, oh, it's like the emergency room because they sound alike. No, wrong, false. Urgent care is the fast food of medicine. It's where you go when the place you want to go is closed, but you have to go somewhere.
Well, and you don't want to eat at the expensive restaurant.
Exactly.
That's the emergency room.
So people, tell your kids, tell your neighbors, tell your aunts and uncles, urgent care is not an emergency room. It's not better than your PCP. It's worse. Oh,
David, I could have told you. I wish I could have told that to the lady that was 3 people in front of me in line. Because this old lady comes in and I could tell something's wrong. She's there with her daughter, and her daughter's like has her on her arm. They sit down next to the person that's checking people in, and she goes, okay, what's wrong? She goes, I think I had a stroke in the middle of the night.
Because I can't move.
My left arm is numb, and I can't move this side of my face. And the lady's like, go to the emergency room right now. She goes, can't I see a doctor here?
No, this is like, and I deal with this every day because people come into where I work, and even at the old one, but I'm more in touch with it now because it's like literally right outside my door. They're like, oh yeah, my kid fell and like his arm snapped in half and he's got six bones protruding out of his forearm. And they're, I'm like, go to the fucking hot, like, what are you doing here? This is Burger King with medicine.
Well, I see my general practitioner is actually out of that same urgent care.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a nice lady, but she wasn't available that day, so I got the other guy, yeah. Which is fine. He was a nice guy, too. But he gave me, like, all these balance tests, and so he's like, this doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with your brain. We should probably scan it just to make sure you're not bleeding out. So at that point, I'm like, oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Well, they sent me over to the other place, which gets me in immediately. And then I get a text from my wife going, man, they really read me the riot act about me calling in for you. And I was like, what did they say? They're like, well, he said, given the circumstances, it was okay, but next time, you have to call in yourself. I was like, I was about to have my head shoved in a machine where they're going to scan my brain.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, man? And that's the thing.
And I was like, I got a doctor's note, and the guy was like, oh, no, it's fine. He doesn't need a doctor's note, but he has to call in himself. Like,
okay, but, like, why read the riot act to your wife?
I don't know. So they get the scan. It comes back. He's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with your brain. You should see a neurologist.
Oh, yeah. Love neurologists. They can talk to you for a fucking hour, and you have no idea what they said.
So they give me this prescription for these gigantic horse pills that I got over here.
They sound big.
Butyl acetaminophen. It's a bunch of shit in one pill.
Right.
Acetaminophen, caffeine, and like a... Oh, Butabol, something.
Yeah, so they're hitting you with like heavy duty migraine tactics.
Yeah, except that I go into the CVS where I turn in my prescriptions that Saturday when I'm still having the pounding headache.
Uh-huh.
Hand her the thing and she goes, "You come back tomorrow."
Was she a little Asian lady chopping fish?
She was. I was like, "Okay, can you put my insurance in?" She goes, puts my new insurance in. Hands the card back to me and goes, "Okay, we'll text you when it's done." Didn't get a text on Saturday. Didn't get a text on Sunday. So today I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go in there and say, hey, give me my prescription. I go in there today. The lady goes, it's a different little Asian lady.
Uh-huh. Maybe your sister.
And I say, hey, I'm here for my prescription. She goes, no, we don't have anything for you.
What?
I said, well, I came in here on Saturday and one of you took this and told me that I'd get it on Sunday. And she kind of sighs and goes over to this like plastic container full of I saw her. She'd been putting stuff that had already been put in there, and it's like to throw away. And mine's at the bottom of it, and it says put in on Sunday.
Oh my God! So like, what is it with like the medical professionals in Reno? It's like you have to force them to do their job. Like if you are dispensing the medication that people come to you to fulfill, why would you then dodge them when they come back, especially when you have it?
Well, and I'm like, okay, well, can I get it filled now? I'm about to go to work. She goes, oh yeah, sit over there for 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
I said, okay, just text me when it's done. Buck. Which she did not like the curse word, but I was really pissed off at that moment.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, I mean, like, that's crazy. So she did, like, so the first one just threw it in a garbage can?
Basically, she threw it in a thing to be thrown away.
Wow.
But no, the lady who did the CT scan was nice, professional, got me in, got me out.
That's all you can ask.
And the guy who actually looked at me was fine. It was like the nurses are just like, ah, fuck off.
Well, that's the thing. When you go, like, the doctors I work with are barely invested in what they're doing at my urgent care. Like, they're constantly watching Netflix. Like, no one's, like, looking. Like, you're never poring over people's charts because they're people who come in, you diagnose them quick, and then they're fucking gone. And that's the thing. So imagine, like, the nurses, how checked out they are, because when they went to nursing school, they wanted to be in a hospital or a doctor's office, but they had to go to an urgent care and make, you know, pennies on the dollar opposed to a hospital.
I was expecting, usually any nurses or even pharmacists that I've gotten flu shots from are like, okay, here comes the pinch. No, it was like, wipe.
Yeah.
like she pinned the alcohol wipe to my ass with the needle. Like, no.
They don't want you running. I would rather have the one that's right after the alcohol, because I had one where, it was a bad migraine. So I went in the doctor's office, and the little PA or whoever, the little nurse they sent in, it's like 4 foot tall. And like one of the feisty little, you know, like Napoleon complex kind of thing. So she says, lean against this thing, drop your pants, you know, get ready for it. So she backs up to the back of the room a good 5 to 8 feet away, like after wiping my ass with the alcohol, of course. Then she takes like 3 running steps and jabs me.
Oh, God.
And I was like, whoa! That was the only time I've ever reacted audibly when someone gave me a shot.
And I've never had a shot in the ass. I was not expecting the amount of sitting pain that came afterwards.
That's the thing,
like,
man.
Like, arm shots, I've never had, like, a shot in the arm where it's like, oh, man, that really hurts. Oh, no. But like, this one was just like... She was ejecting acid into my ass. My head stopped hurting, but I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's the thing. You trade a headache for an ass ache. But that's the thing. With those big-ass needles need to go into a big-ass muscle, and there's no bigger muscle than your big ass.
Yeah. Well, and the guy was like, okay, we can give you this. Are you driving? Because I could also shoot you full of Benadryl. I was like, I'm driving. It's like, okay, we won't do that.
Bennies.
But yeah. And I went and bought some Benadryl, and it helped with the migraine. So maybe it is allergies. Who the fuck knows?
It could be triggered by whatever. That's the thing. Like, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like people look at people with migraines the same way I look at people who say they have fibromyalgia, because I think that's a bullshit made up disease. And I'm sure people who don't get migraines think migraines are made up. So I'm sure it's all part of the same cycle.
Well, it's one of those things where. Like, I walked in on Friday, and they're like, oh, it's Andrew. We love it when you're here, because everybody else calls in sick, and you never call in sick. You're always so reliable. I was like, wait a moment.
they were saying that? How ironic.
No, seriously, the lady was saying that. I was like, well, give me a few hours.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is crazy.
And then I had to go back after work to get that damn medication. The lady I cussed at was the one who gave it to me. She's like, here? I was like, I'm not angry anymore. I'm just disappointed.
Boy. Yeah. I still would have been angry. Like, that was fucked up.
Like, you dumb bitch.
See, that's the great thing. Like, when I go to my PCP, they just send it right to the pharmacy. Like, when I go for once every 2 years when I feel sick enough to go there, they're like, hey, still pharmacying on Walgreens Avenue? And I'm like, yep. She's like, deedly deedly dee, sent.
Well, and this is like a weird prescription. It's like, we can't send this one electronically. I was like, is it bad? Is this like addictive? He's like, oh no, we just can't do it.
That's weird.
I don't get it. Okay. Well, and then all the people at Target were like, well, why didn't you just have it put into the pharmacy here? And I was like, because if I called in sick, showing up to get my prescription, kind of a weird thing.
Right. Yeah. Because you're there because you're sick getting the pills, but you don't want to be like walking through and you have your boss give you the stink eye through the whole fucking pharmacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
So basically, like, I got to work 15 minutes early, went and grabbed an Excedrin, like, migraine, slammed it on the counter, like, God damn you.
Oh, man. So, Andy, I've been playing, and I was hoping Adam would be here to get this information as well, but... Got a game called Empires of the Undergrowth. It's that Ant RTS.
Oh, I think Adam was looking at that.
Yeah. I was on the fence about getting it because Queen Ant burned me so hard. But this fucking delivers, man. It is like original World of Warcraft or like StarCraft, but you're ants and you're just killing bugs.
Is it better than Sim Ant?
I never played Sim Ant.
Nah, that wasn't really an RTS. You just kind of managed an ant colony.
Yeah, this, like, you do the whole nine, and it runs you through challenges, and you constantly, like, it's narrated by this husband and wife English scientist team. So as far as I can tell, you are a scientist watching an ant colony in a lab that role plays as an ant colony in the real world under a log somewhere that... may or may not exist, because the guy will say something about it.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're a human role-playing as an ant, role-playing as a different ant, or it's once removed and you just start as the first ant.
I'm one ant, twice removed.
Yeah. So, you know, you're just digging around, finding bugs, killing them. It's like an ant farm that you can control with your mind. It's everything I wanted as a kid. Like, didn't you have that, though, when you were a kid, you get the Uncle Auntie's ant farm and that white powdery shit that they would dig through?
Well, you get that ant farm, and then the ants don't come with it. You got to send away for them.
Uh-huh.
And it comes in a tube that you have to put in the freezer for 10, like, 5 minutes or whatever to make them slow.
Yeah, so they don't bite you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we at my house, since we were poor, we just went around the whole thing. Didn't buy the ant farm. I got it for Christmas once. Didn't never send off for the ants because $2.99 was a little steep. So what we would do is get a big plastic or glass jar, fill it with just regs ass dirt.
Dumbass ants?
Yeah. And then you'd go out to a vacant lot, find a big hill of harvester ants, and harvest them like the chimps harvest termites. It's that easy.
But then you don't get a queen or anything.
Well, they don't send you a queen with Uncle Auntie's ant farm.
I think they did, yeah.
No, the hell they did. If they got sure a queen, it would go... No, there's no way they would trust queen ants capable of infesting a house to children.
I'm pretty sure I had like 20 queen ants in a jar.
Bullshit! You're fucking crazy. But here's the thing about the collecting them out of the lot in the back, you know, in the alley. You were running out of ants. Ding! I know where to get more.
Oh, well, my ants are dead. I'm going to put more ants in with these ants' corpses.
Yeah, and then they'll file those dead ants somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's the great thing about Empire's Undergrowth. It's like having an ant farm that you can give orders to. Like, if there's a ladybug giving you shit, you can tell like 40 soldiers to go spray acid on them.
What did the ladybug do?
They get hit with the acid, and if they're not fast enough, they die. Otherwise, they fly away.
You said it was giving you shit. What was it doing? Was it just...
Oh. Well, so in this one level, you control these wood ants, and you, like, there are these aphids nearby who secrete a sugary liquid out of their ass.
Oh,
and
delicious.
you can harvest them for food, their juice. But sometimes those crafty ladybugs will come in and steal them, and they'll eat all your, essentially, cows.
Not my aphids.
Yeah, they'll eat your aphids. And so what you do is send a bunch of wood ants. They'll shoot, you know, toxic chemicals out of their poo hole. Spray them down. You can hear the sizzling. It's the best. And then you chop them up for food.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. So I'm glad I took the plunge. Empires of the Undergrowth. Spoiler alert, probably going to be my staff recommendation. But if you've ever had an ant farm and then also wanted to control their movements via your like telekinesis or something to kill things, this is a game tailor-made for you. And it's in early access, so it's probably going to get better, which I can't see because it's still pretty fucking good. Like, it was just released.
See, I love it when an early access game is released, like Dead Cells, where you're like, man, this is pretty good. And then you revisit it later, and it's been updated, and you're like, holy shit, this is great!
I don't know what they could do to make this a better experience. The controls?
Challenges? Well, multiplayer.
They don't have multiplayer, but I have not been able to hit the unit ceiling on any of the campaigns I've played.
Yeah.
So you can just make as many as you want, and you're going to be cool. Because here's the thing. Since it's an ant colony and your queen is constantly shitting out eggs, if one of your warriors dies, if you have enough food in your reserve, hatches another one right away and replaces it. You don't have to go and be like, oh no, I need more zerglings. It's all just being shit out by the queen. No matter what, if it's a worker, if it's a warrior, it knows which one. They deliver it food, it pops open, and you're there immediately.
Let's see, what else? Oh, Sean was in town this week.
Really?
Friend of the show, Sean.
Yeah, on very early episodes. What did you guys do?
Well, we did the normal thing. Like, he came over. Well, and the thing is his wife is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, They had even less time with us than normal because they had to make the rounds to all the people that want to touch her belly, basically.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Even though she's only 2 months in, but they're still there like,
fresh
flesh.
Yeah. That's the thing. You tell somebody there's a baby in there, it doesn't matter if they're flat as a board. Someone will touch it.
So he came over, we played Smash Brothers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Which, God, when you toss Larson into a tightly knit group of friends that play Smash Brothers all the time, it's complete chaos. I could not get proper footing on anything because I'd be fighting, like, doing flips and tricks and stuff, and right behind me would be Larson going pop. Like, oh god, I'm dead again, fuck.
I did notice that.
But then I had to go to work for a little bit, came back, and Sean's mom had just gotten done smoking all of her doobies, and she wanted to go to one of the casino like breakfast places here
for a Doobie Brothers concert?
No, but one of the Doobie Brothers was on television at the time.
Oh my god! What are the odds?
And we all got like the heavy sort of diner food that you get. Sean got a Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Adam got a five cheese grilled cheese sandwich, and I got like a three egg and ham and cheese omelet.
Boy, oh boy, yeah, that would probably kill me.
To which we got to, I'm staring at all the food. Adam finishes 3/4 of it. I finished 3/4 of mine. Sean only finishes 3/4 of his, and all the ladies finish all their shit. And I'm like, oh my god, are we old now? To which my question was immediately answered, because we went to the arcade and played Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, really?
And by played, I meant we failed immediately one time when we tried to do it on the difficulty we used to. And then after four songs, I was like, oh my God, look at my heart rate. It's 140. We're all dying.
Yeah. I learned that lesson a while ago because at one of the malls, there's one of the DDR machines set up. And every once in a while, I would get the urge, go, you know, drop in a buck and a half or whatever and do some songs. But then you hit that one where you're like, you know, like you start with the easiest one, obviously, and then you go up to like, you know, Dynamite Rave, something, and then maybe Afro Nova. And after the first one, I almost died. Like my left, right, middle was all like in violent pain. I felt like my heart and every organ was revolting from my body.
Well, I was able to do it. It just felt like I had run a marathon. And the machine we have, it's at the Atlantis Casino in Reno, is a step. It's not a Dance Dance Revolution machine per se. It's a Step Mania machine.
Well, they have the weird steps.
Well, no, it's the same steps. Step Mania is like the program you can get online for free, and then basically pirate songs that people have made for dance in their own Dance Dance Revolution. So it has all like these anime songs and shit on there, and video game songs. Oh. So there's like thousands of songs. It's like, I just want to find a DDR song. Just give me the one.
But that's the thing. Like when you, with the ones you buy at home are never the ones you encounter in nature, because you'd always have the ones that have your like your favorite songs, the ones you know how to do, and you like you've been practicing. Like, I'm gonna do this, and but then you go somewhere and there's a movie theater, and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking show some shit, like How We Get Down, and then you look through the songs, and you've already blown $1.50. None of the songs you recognize, so you end up just like stumbling around like a jackass.
Yeah. What at the arcade they also had a. It was four-person air hockey, and it was Pac-Man branded, and I was like, why the hell is this Pac-Man branded? And you look at it, and it's got all these like multicolored, it's got a bunch of tiny pucks on the side, and you're like, well, maybe it'll drop some of those.
Right.
So Alex and I are our team, Sean and Adam are on our team. You start off with one puck, and you're just hitting it back and forth. We score on them, it dropped fucking 25 pucks onto the board. All at the same time, we're like, no! And you just start hitting it. I got hit in the head twice by a random puck.
That's the thing. Like, one puck is unpredictable. I feel like any more than two, and like, I worry about my fingers and face.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. And then, like, we were supposed to spend time with them Saturday, but I was getting my head scanned.
Right.
So I showed up and we played a little bit of Stick Fighter, which is a PC game.
It sounds familiar.
You're stick like figures, and yeah, you punch figure. Each other and shoot each other.
Yeah, it's kind of like the what you call it, the Smash Brothers engine.
Yeah, kind of. It was very chaotic, but it was fun.
I've so many times I've looked at that and been like, should I? And that.
And I'll save my other thing that we played for the staff recommendation.
Okay. Well, then let's keep it moving right along, and see what you got for us in this week's Creeping on Craigslist.
Look at the best corner of the internet. Well, talk us out of the Congo paradise compared to this.
Boom. Andy, what do you got for us?
All right, I got a couple today because they're fairly short.
Okay.
The first one is 39-year-old blonde bombshell. The stats on the side, body, curvy, height 5'7", status, single.
See, here's the thing I don't trust about the description. Curvy? I've seen curvy. It used.
Well, there's a picture here.
Okay,
and I'm going to say she lived a hard life. This is a hard 39.
Okay, but what about them curves? Are they there?
She's lumpy, I'd say, not curvy.
God, well, there's every lump has a curve to it.
Yeah,
it's just not like a uniform one. So maybe
she's a little lumpy. And like I said, she looks like she's maybe lived a hard life.
Okay,
and she took this photo with Cam Wow Retro, and she's kind of poking her butt out and looking over her shoulder like hee hee.
Oh, the playful pose, like they used to do at glamour shots in the mall.
Hi, I am a 39-year-old blonde with long blonde hair all the way down my back and bright green eyes.
Okay.
I love cooking and creating new things.
What could that possibly mean?
Well, I don't know, slap a bunch of stuff together, it's a new thing. She's like, an inventor, maybe.
I don't want to get into a relationship with a woman into like decoupage, and she's always down at the dump, like grabbing interesting pieces.
Look, I'm making a, what is it, folk art.
Yeah, folk you, I'd tell her.
I don't mind fancy dinners and shopping as well.
Obviously!
I don't think I've ever met somebody that's like, man, I fucking hate fancy dinners.
Oh, God, the fancier the food, the more disgusted I feel.
Hey, honey, you want to go shopping?
It better be in a Savers.
I am currently incarcerated with barely a year and a half left on my term.
How many hops?
I don't know. Currently incarcerated.
With barely a year left.
With barely a year and a half. Barely a year and a half.
Oh, a year and a half. Yeah. Dude, does she get conjugal visits?
I don't know. It doesn't mention it.
Damn it.
Based on the way she's poking her butt out, maybe.
That would be the make or break in this situation, I feel.
I know it sounds like scary, but I assure you, it's not.
I don't find a woman behind bars that scary.
No.
I don't really find a man behind bars that scary either, because he's got no reason to fuck with me. He's behind bars.
It does bring up with, like, I mean, if she was lying, I would have picked a better picture, but it brings up, where did she get these pictures of herself to put on Craigslist?
Pussycam.
Welcome to pussycam.com.
No, she snuck one in that way.
Oh, I thought pussycam.com was like the nice website.
No, she'd still need the hardware.
If you would like to be my pen pal, just send an email with your phone number, 100% paid for by me. David, do you pay by the email?
You know, I used to, but I was like, what am I doing this for? Gmail's practically free.
Yeah. And whenever you're comfortable, you can give me your address so we could write letters. I'll give you my P.O. box.
Well, here's the thing. So she wants the email address, so she obviously has access to a computer, which she can probably check from time to time, but she still wants your phone number to be a pen pal and then get your address.
Yeah, that makes... Well, she wants an email with your phone number, so you can call her and give her your address. What this... The more I look at her, the more I think she's not 39. She's like a hard... She's a hard 54.
Really? That old, you'd say?
If she hasn't lived a hard life, she looks okay for 54, 55.
Okay. All right. I've seen people like that, so I feel like I know where you're coming from. But that's the thing. The what will hinge on this relationship is the conjugal visits aspect. Because a guy who, like, this is the dream for a dude who wants to get laid, who doesn't want to have to take a woman out and isn't going to be embarrassed by her, crude, rough edges, if you will.
Yeah. And I mean, just get like, be like, oh yeah, well, I don't have a mailbox. I have a P.O. box. You can send letters there. Don't give her your address. Once she's out of jail, she doesn't know where you live.
Yeah. Plus, maybe you can talk her into sending you like a baggie of that sweet toilet Pruno.
Yeah. Maybe she can give you a prison tattoo.
Oh, yeah, through the mail.
Yeah.
It's a rub-on. It's a rub-on.
One of them water-based prison tattoos.
Yeah. You lick it and you stick it to your arm. It's just an old, like the tongue tattoos they used to put on fruit roll-ups. It's just an old one of those.
Like that. Speaking of things we had when we were a kid, do you remember that candy that came in like, it looked like a plastic test tube, but it was just basically Pixie Sticks?
Yeah.
We were talking about that the other day. I was like, nobody remembers this.
There's a place up the street that you can buy, like make your own. They've got like a station of sorts, like a soda station, but it's all that powdered candy. And you can buy 3 fucking feet of the shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, just sugar. Anyway.
If this doesn't sound like something you'd be interested in, then you don't have to respond. But if you are, please take the chance, and I won't make you regret it.
I don't know. That,
well, of course, if I'm not interested, I don't have to respond. I'm not going to send you a letter like, I'm not interested, sorry.
Yeah, number one. But number two also, like, that like enticing sentiment she had at the end almost sounded like a threat.
Ugh. Yeah, a little bit.
I won't. Like every time you use the word,
I won't
regret,
make you regret it.
Yeah, don't use regret unless you're threatening someone. Like that's a business decision you might regret. Like that's a perfectly good example of that. Don't be like, I won't make you regret letting me suck you off, because that makes it feel like there's something I will be regretting later.
Okay, I got since it's just the two of us, I got a couple more short ones here. This one is gross.
Okay.
Just based on the picture. Asterisk, free, lightly used diapers. Asterisk, McKinney.
How used can a diaper be to be considered lightly is my question.
Well, I'm looking at it. It doesn't look lightly used. And they're kids' diapers. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, I thought they're... Okay, that's even worse.
I have several boxes of diapers that our daughter used and are ready for their new owner. One, why did you save them?
I totally repacked them just like they did at the Pampers factory.
I have a bunch of boxes of shit diapers, is what you're telling me.
There's turds in them. Would you like them?
They can be simply hand washed or even faster, flipped inside out and used again.
Flipped inside out? Are we looking at like mass market, those gel absorbing material diapers?
Yeah, we're looking at your standard Pamper.
How, number one, do you turn them inside out? Because that Velcro goes one way. And two, all the absorbent shit is on the inside.
Yeah.
What, David,
looking at the picture of the one diaper, it looks like he's already flipped them inside out and used them.
Why? Why? What? Who is going to benefit from this? People of the world, when you're putting stuff on Craigslist, think, what am I putting into this? Is the time and energy and effort I am putting into this Craigslist ad worth my, not only my time, but somebody else's time of reading it like we are now? This is, I'm burning literally hundreds of calories a minute on this stupid bullshit. And why?
And I can't really click on the smaller pictures because this is a screenshot of the ad itself.
Uh-huh.
But it does look like he has not boxes, but garbage baggies. Several dozen garbage baggies. Filled with shit diapers.
This person is like a hoarder, maybe? What's going maybe. On?
It's, well, he says, these diapers have plenty of life left in them, so save your money for the more important stuff. You know, like not getting...
not rubbing your child in somebody else's child's shit. Not well, important.
Oh, how did you get cholera?
Oh, you know, I got all these used diapers from... reusable diapers? Oh, no. Disposables.
Yeah, just regular old diapers. Well, were they washed? Oh, no. They came with poop.
Yeah. Plus, you can't wash that gel. That's like, what the fuck?
Please email to arrange pickup. Daryl.
So these are free to a good home, I assume.
Yeah, free lightly. They don't look lightly used one. And I could have expected a Daryl.
Now, I wonder what to him qualifies as heavy use. Something that would be like, this is even too gross to give away.
I don't know, but those look like... nasty. It looks like the turd has been taken out, but like the turd wipe, like the is still there.
The skid mark.
Like maybe he emptied the turds out into the trash and was like, we can save these.
He's hitting the back of him with a wooden spoon. He's like, stuck turds. Oh, my life. Am I right?
Meanwhile, there's probably another Craigslist head like baby turds, free to home. Do you have clean diapers but no turds? Have you ever heard of night soil? I like this one just for the ending.
Okay.
It's called You and Me in the San Fernando Valley.
Is it parentheses baby ain't nothing but mammals?
No.
Damn it.
You are a regular simple woman.
Ooh, thank you.
That's not very nice to say about anyone.
You know, you're simple. You don't get a lot of things.
You go around with your cart filled with dirty rags.
Yeah, you're constantly picking up bags of used diapers from Craigslist ads.
Going about your day, probably giggling with your gal pals about some cute guy.
Always.
That cute guy, and the comma, that cute guy, comma.
Okay.
Maybe he's like, you know, that cute guy.
Oh, you know, that one. Wink.
You know, stuff you did when you were more immature.
Oh, sure. I mean, we've all done stuff like that. We were more immature.
And the photo he's provided is a stock photo. It's painfully obvious.
Does it have Getty Images across the middle in white letters?
No, he's cropped out everything except like the nose and chin of this guy.
Oh.
So I'm getting like a Batman perspective of this man's handsomeness.
Okay, here's another shout out to the world. If you're going to be, listen, fat chicks, there's a market for you. Don't just post a stock photo of some, like a close-up of an eye or the close-up of like a part of your face or a close-up of your ass. Just do the, like, there's going to be somebody out there for you. Women have it way better than men. Just go out whole hog. Don't do the Batman thing like this guy's doing. Don't give me a blurry screenshot from like your mirror over your shoulder. Don't bullshit you and me. Not that I'm Craigslist shopping a lot, still.
All the time when I'm at Target, I see like super hot chicks and they've got like a kid in the cart and I'm like, oh, like a young mom. And then this really old guy, like a really old bald guy will come up and the kid will be like, daddy. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah. Okay. So now that you bring that up, I had a weird experience the other day. So we were out at dinner and this woman walks in, probably my age. I'm like, whoa, looking good. And then this 60-year-old dude walks in and like lays one on her that is like worthy of Cameron Diaz and Jim Carrey in The Mask. And I thought, what the fuck is going on there? It's like a 30-year age difference.
It happens all the time. Although now that I work in a service job, basically, I do see the ugly couples come in.
Aren't those the craziest? Like, because they're a very, I mean, there's a million different couple varieties. My favorite are old dude, young Asian woman, which immediately springs to mind as like mail order.
Yeah.
I love seeing the two overweight nerds that like have the same genre t-shirt on and same hair, like pull back in a ponytail.
It's dyed. But it was a crappy dye, so it's like a lightish blue, and you can kind of see it rubbing off on the sweater.
Yeah, or like it was red at one time, and they just sort of forgot about it. It warms my heart when two fours find each other.
Yeah, it's lovely. And they seem happy. Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, I forgot to tell you about this guy. Okay, so I'm in self-checkout, and this guy comes through, and just looking at him, I said, that guy looks like a skinhead.
Oh, no. Okay.
And, like, I finished helping somebody out. I turn around, and I look at the back of his sweatshirt, big skull, and it said, certified proud white.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, maybe it's like a thing. Maybe it's a thing. No. Okay, so he flips his hood up. And his hood, on the side of it, says, other races can't compare.
Oh, man. Why? Man,
I told everybody, I come home, and I tell Sean and Adam this. They're like, well, I guess he's got a lot of balls to be wearing something like that just around.
Number one, yeah, like, totally. I get that guy doesn't give two shits about half a fuck. But, like, you never see... Now, it's not that the racism doesn't exist from... you know, outside the right, like the white race to other races, like blacks hating Mexicans, hating, you know, Asians, hating whatever. But you don't see other races being racist to each other as much as you do see white people doing it. So every time it happens, I'm like, man, you're not setting a great example here.
He's not. Well, and what is this sweatshirt?
Yeah. Who, like, I understand you could probably wear that to a meeting, but he's like, he's wearing it as a costume. That guy's got a small dick and needs to wave something around, so he gets all self-righteous about his white pride and wears a hoodie he got from, like, Trump's website, probably.
It was the weirdest thing in the world. I was just like, oh my God. Because when I first saw him, I was like, skinhead, right? And I was like, I shouldn't assume anything. He turns around and like, oh shit, skinhead.
Yeah, he's got two SS's under each eye tattooed.
Well, I hate it when I see people come in and they're wearing coats and it's got like the SS on the thing. I'm like, what are you even fucking doing?
I probably told this story before, but it bears repeating because I think these guys were fucking idiots. So these two, like when I was working at a record store, Zia Records, two dudes walk in, they're wearing wife beaters, like big khaki cargo shorts, and like combat boots with black socks pulled up to their knees, and they're wearing like beanies. Those fucking, it's like hot as hell in Arizona. Why are you wearing a fucking beanie? Anyway, they walk around the store for a minute. Only other people in the store is a well-dressed black family. Ugh. So they walk in, and like the black family gives them a look, and they're like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, what's going on over there? These dudes come up, they have... Now, they're wearing wife beaters, but they are covered in not only stains, but like Sharpie SS and swastikas and like kill Jesus. Jews. Not only like the hateful symbols, but like hate speech as well. Like they really committed to it. So, and of course they walk up to me because they want to ask my opinion about something. They say, hey man, you got any like Platoon 44 or any like white power music? And he threw up a fist like, we're buddies?
Like, yeah!
You know, white power. I was like, what the f-? I'm like, no, I didn't even bother looking. I'm like, we don't have any of that hateful shit. And he's like, oh, man. And they left.
Yeah, no, but we have NWA.
Yeah, I was like, the rap section's over there. I bet you guys love that. I couldn't believe those. Like, those are cartoon characters. Those are people who exist in, like, movies about World War II or, like, hate groups that are really far underground that maybe probably don't exist.
It's like the guy from Alabama the other week that just said the N-word, and his wife was like, they don't like that word here. I don't believe that word anywhere, Alabama.
Don't fucking believe it. I tweeted about this, and I put this on the Facebook, I think, but, like, when I was a kid, and you'd watch a very special episode of Family Matters when Laura gets the N-word written in paint on her locker... You know, the problem resolved itself. All the after-school specials, all the very special episodes of all those TGIF classics, they led you to believe that every once in a while, you'd find a racist who was ballsy enough to do something not that offensive.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, what could have happened in an episode, instead of the N-word, it would be, like, N-word this, they'd say the C-word, and it would be, like, the most toned-down version of that sort of crime. Then they talk about it. Everyone's fine afterwards, and then you go about your day.
Like, or and always in those sorts of episodes, especially in Family Matters when somebody was racist, like they'd make the person see their point of view, and the guy was like, I never thought about it like that. Okay, so my oldest nephew, God bless his heart, is like a big, he's a big loud mouth, Well, not my oldest, my second oldest.
Okay.
Because my oldest is a year older than me, and he's like a hippie.
Right.
He was the one who went away on a football scholarship, but he had to stop because like he broke his arm and then got a blood clot in his brain.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But he kind of got, he did the whole they took our jobs thing, because he almost never got played on the college football team because all the black guys are better than him.
So he played
he came back and he was like, yep, affirmative action. I was like, but no?
Like, as long as black people have been allowed to compete with white people, since the days of Jackie Robinson, they've come in and pretty much dominated our asses, right? Like, there's no affirmative action. Like, they're inscrutably more than likely going to be a better athlete than you.
But he's one of the ones who always starts like the, oh man, Trump said this conversation. I'm always the person that's like, well, pardon me, sir. I have facts to give you.
But the Breitbart newsletter told me otherwise, and I don't know what a fact is.
Anyway, back to the ad.
Right. Where were we?
Stuff you did when you were more mature. Well, now you are a normal woman, and you know what you want.
Oh, yeah. You're going to take it, too.
A really hot guy, damn it.
Oh, fuck. This sounds like it's one of those nice guys, finish last sort of dudes who's like trying to be an asshole online to score chicks.
Yeah. Well, one of Alex's friends just posted on her Facebook. She's like a 20-year-old chick. She used to talk to this guy, and then like 2 years ago, he sent her a thing like, can we work out a situation where you send me pictures for money? Wink, wink.
What?
And then like 2 days ago, like she never responded to him again. And then like 2 days ago, he's like, hey, still stands. Looking pretty good.
What? So he straight up is propositioning someone for nude pictures in exchange for cash.
Yeah. And she was like, no, you're a creep.
What kind of low rent, creepy ass motherfucker?
One of the friends was like, well, you're a lesbian. Just tell me you're a lesbian. You're not into guys. And she was like, no, he'd probably ask her a picture of two women.
Don't give him any information. Like, hire a 10-year-old to shoot him in one of his nards with a BB gun, for Christ's sake. Like, that's what that guy deserves.
This is the creepiest thing in the world. Let's see.
Seriously.
Don't be cute. We're leader Ely. Not literally, leader Ely.
Oh, she's from the UK.
Supposed to be with another. With another. Not one another. With another.
Hold on.
So he's saying that they're not supposed to be together. They're supposed to be with another person. He wrote this.
Okay, so hold on. We've taken so many tangents. Refresh my memory on what this ad is all about.
Well, it's about a regular, simple woman who giggles, but now wants a really hot guy.
Oh, wait. I thought this was from a man who said that you're a simple woman.
Yeah, it is. It's this dude saying you're a regular, simple woman.
Oh, so it's described. Okay, now I'm on board. Okay, I'm locked in.
Don't be cute. We're literally supposed to be with another. Not one another. Just...
Okay, yeah.
Ugh. And this is the end sentence is my favorite fucking part. So, David, if you're going to take a classy lady out, you're a really hot guy, where are you going to take them?
My legitimate answer will be one thing, but my answer for this will be the Olive Garden.
Worse. So let's go get some Baja Fresh or Wendy's.
What? No! Baja Fresh or Wendy's?
Girl, I can hook you up with that spicy chicky.
Baja Fresh is a date that you take someone on if you're 16 and you're both into like the beach lifestyle.
Baja Fresh is what you like is the date. It's not even a date. It's the lunch that you take your wife on when you're driving by. You're like, yeah, Mexican? Like, sure, why not?
Baja Fresh is literally the only restaurant that I only go into if it's my only option. Like, and that's the thing. I don't want to badmouth Baja Fresh, but they're so fucking forgettable. I literally forgot about them until you brought them up.
David, I have a Baja Fresh gift card. I don't know if there's a Baja Fresh in town.
I literally have a Baja Fresh a stone's throw from my house. Been there twice. I've lived
David
here
has a
7
Baja
years.
Fresh in his living room.
Yeah, they opened one, a micro Baja Fresh in my living room right by my TV. And she's always like, free sample. And I was like, yeah, I don't know who you are.
Walk by him like a person in a mall kiosk, like, nope.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Baja Fresh is something you go to, well, like, if you're out with your parents and they bring it up and you don't want to have that conversation where it's like, well, we go here or here or here, so you just immediately knee-jerk say yes to the first thing.
Oh, of course.
But that's the thing. Like, it's not bad food. It's just like a weird. It's not that it's Cali Mex that I don't think that Arizona or unless you're in California, that Cali Mex is not like your thing. I don't think.
But if I'm gonna, I think a Baja Fresh. It's one. It's like the mid ground Mexican food. If I'm gonna go for mid ground Mexican food, I'm gonna get like Qdoba or Chipotle.
I wouldn't call it like to me anyway. For Arizona, middle of the road Mexican food is like fast and greasy and doesn't have a drive-through, but it's still like you order it and they bring it to your table 8 minutes at most later.
Yeah, Baja Fresh, Qdoba.
Well, because there's also a place here called Sunburro that puts on airs like it's a real restaurant, but does all the same poor ass shit. Like you go in there and there's like nice music and it's decorated all nice. And you're like, oh, this is great. And you walk up and you realize you're standing at a cash register, and then they hand you they slam your empty drink cups down on the counter, and then a big old like tube of salsa, and they're like, go sit down, and you feel like, oh yeah, the spell is broken.
Here's your salsa tube.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Baja Fresh doesn't fit that category for me because its cuisine is so far removed. Because yeah. It's like if cabbage and fish are on your menu, I don't know what to do with you, man. Like what do we do here?
Cabbage and fish on the menu sounds like a Korean restaurant.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It doesn't really evoke any feeling either. When someone says Baja Fresh, I just think like a white room with someone standing in it being like, what?
Do you want chicken?
Confused why he's there, yeah. Black beans, I guess? Salsa bar? Oh, man. Well, I hope he finds the woman he desires.
And I hope that woman gets at least a Dave's double.
I wonder if we should cross this star-crossed lover with that of the woman in the prison, see what happens there.
Yeah, but like she didn't seem like a simple woman. She seemed like she had...
I bet she was simple. She was just rough around the edges.
Well, she obviously had some unsimple tastes if she's in prison.
I don't think you have to be complicated to go to prison. Like, when I think simple taste, I'm thinking like, yeah, Wendy's or Baja Fresh. And I don't think that this woman in prison is going to turn her nose up at either of those.
Maybe she robbed a Baja Fresh, except that nobody was in there, so there was no money. She took all of the cabbage and chicken, got arrested in prison.
Doing a year and a half.
I know what you're saying. That doesn't seem like something you get arrested with. She had a gun.
True. You know, I mean, because they're not going to give that to you like, you know, willy nilly. Like if you go in there and say, like, give me all your cabbage and chicken, they're not going to be like, oh, sure. Yeah. Without a gun. Get the fuck out of here, you bitch. You look like a hard 54.
No, that she was a hard 39. She was an okay 54.
You look like an okay 54.
She's like, I'm 39 years old. She shot the cashier.
Should we start doing that? Like, someone's like at this point, when someone's like, how old do you think I am? Do you really care? We're not in fucking the third grade anymore where 1 year is going to make or break anything. So I think if an adult asks you how old they are, it wouldn't be acceptable to be like, a hard 24 or a decent 37. Like, would it be okay to do that to an adult?
David, one of my greatest pleasures in life is seeing people come up that look like they're like fucking 40.
Uh-huh.
Or 45, 48. And I take their ID and they were born like 1989. I was like, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's always, here's the thing that no one tells you, is there's always someone who's shittier at what you do than you and shittier than how you look. So you can always look down and be like, whew, dodged a bullet there. But also keep in mind that you're the person that someone above you looks at and goes, whew. So I mean, as long as you don't look up, you're fine.
Yeah, so somewhere there's a supermodel that like walks up, sees, like if there was a really hot guy that I handed my ID to, I'd be like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. He's like, at least I'm not this asshole.
And that guy was born in like 1979. He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like genetics are a crazy lottery because you can come from two parents who look like Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head and look great, or... you can be Potato Head Jr.
Then you got shoes coming out of your butt.
Well, now that I'm getting old enough to have gotten enough time under my belt to see how people are aging, because like when I was a kid, my parents would be like, oh, he's aging terribly. I'd be like, what? So no, I've seen this guy three times before. Now that you're old enough, you start getting tracks under you and you can start see how people are aging, and the ones aging poorly are doing it right in front of your face, man.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God.
Like I'm aging like shit, but I don't care, So it all washes out. But like you look around and you're like, oh my God, that's what you look like now? Like kids you used to go to school with in high school and you find them online or whatever, and they look like 10 tons of shit drug behind horse and buggy.
We still look like we could pass for 20 something.
Probably. Like if I shave and I'm like, you know, if I'm making myself look presentable, I could probably pass for younger.
Yeah.
But day to day, Dave, that's the thing. The most insulting thing that people do to me now is guess my age correctly.
No, no.
And I fucking hate when they do that. I would rather take a hard 28 or a soft 34.
Never ask a child how old you are.
Oh, yeah. Like,
like how old do you think I am? And they're like, I don't know, 50? Like
70. Yeah. Oh, my God. Kids are embarrassing. So here's what my nephew did. I don't know if I told you this. We went out to a Chinese restaurant. Guy was speaking in a Chinese accent. And my nephew goes, "You're not speaking English," and pointed at him.
Well, I believe that probably has to do with some of the upbringing.
I don't know where he got it, but it was like since he wasn't my kid, I wasn't that embarrassed. But if that were my kid, I would have been mind-blowingly embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because not only did he bring it up once, he kept bringing it up. Every time the guy would come back, since he was our waiter, my nephew would be like, he's not speaking. Speak English, he says to the guy, God, looking at him. Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
I would have melted into a puddle, and it swiftly went down a drain in the floor.
But the guy was like super cool. He's like, oh, I'm speaking English, but I also know Chinese, and I have a little bit of an accent. A little bit. And so I was like, oh, my God, we have to get out of here, and I can never come back. Yeah, kids are embarrassing. I don't know why Krista wants one so fucking bad. Anyway, well, Andy, is that it?
I think that's it.
All of our ads spent, all of our yarns spun.
I think we've spun our yarns and spent our ads.
I can't wait to go get and, well, let's save it. But now it's time for a round of staff recommendations. That being said, I can't wait to get back to playing my staff recommendation, Empires of the Undergrowth.
Ooh.
Soup, you heard me talk about it earlier. It's that again. Ants. Don't let your queen die. Ding. Yeah. And watch out for those trapdoor spiders.
Yes, you do.
What do you got to recommend to our listeners?
I got a couple things. I got a board game, which I'm going to tell you the bad part right now, requires at least 4 people.
That's always a bummer.
And I think it'd be fun with even more than 4 people. It's The Thing, Infection at Outpost 31.
Is it,
yes.
God, I think I've seen that. Was it part of the, like, Pandemic Games, like, that
no,
company?
No, it's just The Thing. It was made by Mondo, who the people who did all my posters.
Oh, okay.
And basically, you start off the game, and you have to, you know, it's like, you pick one of the characters in the movie The Thing, and they all have little special abilities, and somebody's the captain, and you have to draw a mission. It says, go over here and do this. Except that one of you is The Thing.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's got these cards that, like, you'll have, like, a petri dish or a hammer or a knife, and it'll say, like, +1 dice or something. And the mission will say, like, okay, everybody hands in a card, and then you roll as many dice as it says, and you have to get, like, a straight or a 3 of a kind.
Okay.
Except that there's also, like, sabotage cards, which can make you have to do other things so that you fail the mission, or that the person who's The Thing can just hand you straight up stuff that you don't need. Like, okay, for this mission we need 3 fire extinguishers, and then you look at your hand and some jackass has given you a petri dish and you're like, what the fuck?
Okay. So like, it's so a game master presides over the other 3 people essentially?
Nope. Because the next turn, somebody else becomes captain, and that might be The Thing, and he might sabotage his own fucking mission.
Oh, so it goes in a circle. Okay, that makes it more interesting.
Adam was particularly good at this, where he would go on a mission, and like he'd go on off on this thing, like, okay, I'm trusting all of you to give me the correct stuff, and he'd be the, like, he'd kind of know, because somebody, like, you can't really talk about what's in your hand, but you can be like, okay, I've got good cards, I got bad cards.
Uh-huh.
He'd kind of know that somebody had bad cards, and he'd put one in there himself. He's like, okay, 2 of you are fucking me up, and he'd put one in there himself.
I can see him getting a lot of mileage out of his stone face.
And you have to go through the different sectors of this place, and every time you switch sectors, like, there's cards that you shuffle up and you hand to each person so somebody else can become another thing.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And the objective is the objective for the humans is to get out, get on a helicopter, and not have any of the things on the helicopter.
Okay.
And there's ways you can do it, like you can do blood tests if you had those left over at the ends to make people reveal their card that shows whether or not they're the thing. And the objective for the thing is to either blow up the facility, get the contagion level up a bunch, so make people fail too many missions, or to be on the helicopter.
Yeah,
and I get back from the head scan. Sean and all them are playing this, and Adam, who is the thing, convinces them all that he should be the final captain to who gets to decide who gets to go on the helicopter. He goes, okay, and then he like plays it out for a long time. He's like, I don't know. You get to go, and you get to go, and then he's like, okay, we're on the helicopter. Blah.
That game seems to have the same or a similar mechanic to One Night Ultimate Werewolf, another game I love. I love games like this. The problem is, in my circles, it's hard to find people who are good at pretending even a little.
Yeah.
That's the only problem with those games. I love them. I wish I would play fucking, God damn it, what's that game? It's like the role-playing game with the dice.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Different scenarios.
Dungeons and Dragons.
You print out online and it was Fiasco. God damn it.
Fiasco's very good.
No fucking help whatsoever. I can play Fiasco.
The role playing game with the book and the dice is every role playing game, David.
Help me out here, you dick. The one I like. No, I would play all the time, except all the people I hang out with and all the people I'm related to are fucking terrible at acting.
We had to stop playing Fiasco because some of the people could not. Not get angry when we killed off their characters as part of a story.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, it's just a... Whatever. So, I like games with that mechanic, so maybe I'll check out this Thing game. How much was it?
Oh, it was 60-something?
That's not bad for a board game, I guess.
It's got nice little miniatures.
Yeah, because you can drop, like, $100 on a game easy.
Yeah. And the other one thing I want to recommend is my parents got me an Instant Pot for it's an electric pressure cooker.
Oh.
That motherfucker cooks good.
What do you cook in a pressure cooker? Because all I have is experience with the stuff my mom cooked, and I don't want to cook any of that.
Well, the other day I did a chuck roast, so I did like a pot roast.
Okay.
And instead of taking like 4 hours, it took an hour.
That's not bad. See, here's the thing. And this is going to be like, so now that we're transitioning into being old men, I've really come into using my crock pot a lot more, which is something I, as a child, never thought I would say.
But see, I love my crock pot, except that, David, I make salsa chicken for tacos every once in a while in a crock pot. Or it's just like basically you season some chicken and toss salsa over it. 8 hours later, you come back.
Exactly. I just made some carnitas in mine. Blew my mind.
David, I did it in the Instant Pot. Instead of 8 hours, 13 minutes.
But does it fall apart the same way? Because the benefit of slow cooking is having the time for the flavors to get in and the meat to fall apart.
It didn't. The flavors are still there. It didn't fall apart quite the same, but it tasted just as good.
I don't know. I like the slow and low aspect of it all. But you know what? I'm from the 1800s, and we used to have to buy a new ox every time one would break a leg.
I'm gonna experiment with herb roasted potatoes for myself tonight.
Hope you don't get a headache afterwards.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get one of them great headaches. No,
experimenting.
After this morning when I was angry and I went to my work, slammed down like the Excedrin migraine and took two of them, haven't had a headache since.
Well, that's good.
Maybe I just need to get angry at something, real nice and angry.
That's the thing about migraines, man. You don't know what triggers them, so that delicate chemical cocktail up in that coconut of yours, anything can throw it off, and sometimes it'll happen, then boom, gonzo.
Yeah. So who knows? Thank you, whoever designed the brain. Yeah, aliens.
Way to go, aliens who lost your ship here. Or Shoggoths, or the great old ones, if you believe in that mythology. But here's the thing. Guys, when you get in contact with us, you can. FistfulPodcast@gmail.com. Dave@FistfulPodcast.com is another great place to go. Andy's still got his. I don't know if he checks his anymore.
I don't think I've been able to access that for like 4 years.
So don't write Andy. If you've ever written to Andy, that's why he's never written to you. It's not that he's an asshole. It's just that he doesn't check.
No, I check every once in a while, like, look, fans, and I put it right in the trash.
Yeah, fuck this. I always
look at all these fans trying to sell me cam girls and pills.
Yeah, oh, goddamn. So this month alone, I have been getting crazy hit up by nothing but, like, spam emails about my taxes. It's like debt relief and taxes. It's like, oh, man, you owe a bunch of money in back taxes. I'm like, bull fucking shit. Every 8 minutes, though, it's like, hey, man, we're coming to get you. And some of them have, like, semi-aggressive tactics where it's like, law enforcement in your area are looking for people with blah 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 blah. No, I'm like, fuck you, man. Like, one has. If somebody was going to contact me, it would be like .gov or .police.
No, they don't email. They call you.
Yeah, And that's another thing. Like, they wouldn't have some foreign email address. They weren't routing, like, my local government isn't routing emails through Taiwan. Fucking dickheads.
Why are there so many misspellings in this? It says ISR.
Yeah,
Torxes.
What is going on?
Oh, my Torxes are overdue.
Oh, no. My Torxes. Hope I get a reformed. Anyway, guys, so yeah, you can come contact with us. As of this recording, I'm going to start pulling clips for the best of, and we're getting a lot of really good clips, so it may be a two-parter. We'll have to see where that goes. So I'm excited about that. I'm thinking this may be the last big project I ever do for this show.
Then he's going to die.
No, I'm not going to die, but I don't know if I'm going to do anything as big. Like, this has been a long time in the making, and that's if this comes out. This whole section of the show may be moot if everything falls apart at the 11th hour.
And I have another staff recommendation. Go to Dave's Shutterstock store and get a high quality shopping bag.
Oh, my Shutterfly store. Yeah.
Yeah. Because David sent me one of the PCP'd out dinosaur statue, and I use it all the time.
Yeah, I was like, what picture would he appreciate the most? And I got the one of the Brachiosaur who looked like he just stepped on a Lego.
Well, and I opened up the box and I was looking at the wrong side of the thing. I was like, why did he just send me a white shopping bag? I turned it over. I was like, hey.
Yeah, I totally forgot I sent that to you until I got your text too. And I was like, bag? Andy's lost it.
But it's a nice shopping bag.
So. Yeah, I may order, you may find more in your mailbox if the deals are good enough. So, yeah, I guess, that's it, guys. So, until next week, I'm the name I said earlier that I was having trouble with.
I'm just Andy this time.
Saying, remember, kids, fucking bro down, hoe down. See you next week.
Yeehaw!
Now, glass of beans.
Classic.
Or they try to... Podcasts Radio.